Now turn your head, please, to the Book of the Psalms. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 14. Oh, I'm a little slow in finding the scriptures because I haven't used this Bible in a long time. But Psalm 27, verse 14. Maybe I should borrow somebody's Bible, huh? I should get it this time. It just refuses to open up. You know why? Thank you, brother. I've got mine marked. Oh, there it was. There it is, huh? Oh, thank you. Thanks so much. That too is in the Bible. Bear ye one another's burdens. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Psalm 40 and verse 1. You know, you might think that I haven't read these scriptures in a while. Now, my other Bible at home, where the pages would almost open automatically. But I selected this one for a good reason. Psalm 40 and verse 1, did I say? Yes. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Psalm 62, please. Psalm 62. Verse 1. Truly my soul waits upon God. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only on God. Now, by now, you've guessed the subject. Wait on the Lord. Now, that's hardly the tempo of today. You get on the highway, and you always see a couple of fellows who don't want to wait. They're in and out, causing trouble. And in travel, we want to get there fast. And this problem that they're having with the planes is causing quite a problem to people. The slowdown and the investigation. People want to get there in a hurry. Don't have time to wait. In politics, who's going to get to the moon first? We did. Who's going to get to Mars first? The arms race. who was going to build the first instrument that would kill off all the people. Everybody wants to get there first. I remember years ago. Oh, I was about the size and age of John here. And my father gave my mother as a gift a set of pots. A pot for this, a pot for that, about six or seven of them. And oh, mother liked those pots. But they were too slow. And after that, there came the pressure cooker. Remember that? The pot, dinner in 3 hours. Pressure cooker, dinner in a half hour. That's too slow. The day you had the microwave. Dinner in no time. Nobody wants to wait. And in New York City years ago, in the transportation facilities, streetcars and the buses and the trains, there was a sign, a picture. Three boys, one about 11, one about 8, and one about 4. And they had their knapsacks and they were traveling. And the second boy said to the first one, "Where are we going?" The first boy said, "I don't know." The third boy said, "Why are we walking so fast?" Going nowhere. But our lesson today is to wait and wait patiently, wait silently, and wait on the Lord. Oh, let's start, please, with Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 11. Wait, wait, wait. Psalm 116, verse 11. David is speaking. "I said in my haste, all men are liars." You see what happens when you're in a hurry? When you talk without thinking, you say the wrong thing. And that is why in the book of James, and that third verse, that third chapter, it's the greatest dissertation I have ever read on the human tongue. How to keep that tongue quiet and wait and think and look before you speak. Now turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Verse 9. "The Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away into die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die." They were desperate, weren't they? Well, now read the next verse. What did God say? "Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of Jehovah." Stand still. And we as believers in these difficult days, very difficult days, We need to learn to stand still and see what God is going to do. Stand still and see the blessings of Jehovah. Now, we won't read the rest of the chapter. You know what happened. They stood still and they were victorious. Wait patiently and wait quietly. Our habit is when we get into a difficult situation to move. Years ago, in the course of my training, I worked with a certain doctor, Jesse Green. And Jesse Green had a habit. I would be assisting him and he's working. And he keeps saying, keep still, keep still, keep still. If I moved, it would spoil what he was doing. He wanted me to keep still. And you know that's what God wants us to do. Stop moving so much. Keep still and let God do what he's going to do. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And verse 1. I promise you that I will not bring this Bible to speak from again. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land, we don't know what's happened to him. And we're tired waiting. And you know the result as you read the rest of the chapter. Wait on the Lord. There's an old expression. Work hastened is work spoiled. Now, I don't know much about animals. My daughter knows far more than I. But I am told that if a dog is pregnant and you hasten the delivery, the pups will be born blind. That's what I'm told. Wait patiently on the Lord. And then there is another saying. There is one that labors, takes pain, and makes haste, and is so much the more behind. Have you ever seen that? These people that hurry. Oh, I think of some of those fellows in school. I think of one fellow. They used to seat us alphabetically, see? I was Garns and he was Blickman. I want to tell you, Harold Blickman was, he was smart. He was smart. But by the time we got to college and everything, he failed out. He was too fast. A little slower and he might have learned like the rest of us slow folks. But he was fast. Read with me, please, in 2 Samuel chapter 18. The idea of speed. 2 Samuel chapter 18. And verse 19. And you have a good example there. And you know, going through school, I can recall many of these fellows that were so smart. You've been to school with them. Everything's like that. You wonder, how could a human being know that much and be so smart? And they all peter out. They're too fast. And the Lord would have us wait on him. 2 Samuel 18, did I say? Yes. And let us start at verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, Let me now run and bear the tidings, the king tidings, how that the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. Joab said to him, you shall not bear tidings this day. You shall bear tidings another day. This day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz the son of Zadok yet again to Joab, howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore will you run, my son, seeing you have no tidings ready? Howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. All right? He wanted to run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai, the one that was given the orders. David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. The watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. The watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man is running alone. And the king said, he also brings tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the king, before the king, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against the Lord, my Lord the king. The king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Now this is the man that wanted to run when he was not told to run. Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. But he got there first. Speed. Failure to wait. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai, this is the man that was given the order. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day all of them that rose up against the king. The king said to Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man. Ahimaaz wanted to run. And he outran Cushai, the man that had the message. He was real fast. And when he got to the end point, he had nothing to say. Failure to wait upon the Lord. Book of Habakkuk. A brother was telling us about the book of Micah, that it's sometimes hard to find. So is the book of Habakkuk. But there is a principle there that we want to carry with us. Book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. And verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. Let's start at verse 2. We all have Habakkuk. Now, maybe my pronunciation isn't like yours. Some say Habakkuk. Whichever you say it, it's the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tablets, that he may run that region. Now, verse 3. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Now, notice this expression, please. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Though it tarry, it won't tarry. What does that mean? Though it be long, it will not be late. And that's what we're going to look into. The word of God and his promises to us and his dealings with us may take a long time, but they're always on time. God is never late. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Genesis chapter 15, please. God may be long, but he's never late. Genesis chapter 15. Starting at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? I don't have any children. And the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus. Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. He believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You don't have any children, Abraham, or Abram, but your progeny will be like the stars of heaven. Now, that's an interesting thing. We just see something. Can you count the stars of heaven? I don't remember the name of this latest telescope. But the man that looked through that, great astronomer, you know what he concluded? The stars of the heaven are like the sands of the sea. You can't count them. Ever read the book of Jeremiah? The stars of heaven are like the sands of the sea. Was in the book a long time ago. That's why, beloved, we need to study the book. You'd be surprised how much you learn from the Bible. Chapter 16. Verse 4. Let us start at verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. She had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarah said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now, we read in chapter 15 that God said to Abram, you're going to have children from your own posterity. But Abram and Sarah said, we waited a long time. Let's help God out a little bit. And they devised this scheme. Verse 3, Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham dwelt 10 years in the land, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. He went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. See? Failure to wait on the Lord, we lose the respect of those around. I repeat, failure to wait on the Lord, we lose the respect of those around. Trying to help God out. Verse 6 of 5. Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Verse 15. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. He was 86. How old was he when Isaac was born? 100 years old. Can you imagine that? He goes ahead before God and produces a seed that's much the cause of much of the trouble in the Middle East today. Because one man was in a hurry. And then God says, now you wait another 14 years. And this is wonderful. Waiting on the Lord. You'd be surprised what he'll do. And so after the, in due time, Sarah had this child. Chapter 21, please. Verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Further trouble. And when we proceed in haste on our own and fail to wait on the Lord, trouble. Trouble comes. Now let's look at another character who couldn't wait on the Lord. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Let's start at verse 19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. That's good. Have problems? Inquire of the Lord. Ask him. The Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other. Now please note. The elder shall serve the younger before they were born. That's God's decision. We go on, verse 27. The elder shall serve the younger. Verse 27. In other words, Jacob didn't have anything to worry about, did he? The Lord says, your brother's going to serve you, so just wait. Don't do anything, just wait. Your brother is going to serve you. Verse 27, the boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet, mild man dwelling in tents. Verse 28, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. We could talk for a couple of hours on that. Divided parenthood. One parent likes one child and the other parent's like, I've seen that. That can make a lot of trouble. And that caused trouble here. 28:29. Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Now, notice verse 31. His brother says, feed me some of that pottage. Well, what would you say here? Have some? I mean, that's natural, isn't it? Jacob says, sell me your birthright. He must have been scheming that thing. Somehow I'm going to get that birthright. Although God had said that the older will serve the younger. But he was in a hurry. He was in a hurry. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him. He sold his birthright unto his brother. That wasn't necessary, because God had said that the older will serve the younger. Jacob's position in God's mind had already been determined. Jacob didn't have to do a thing but rest back. God said it's going to be yours. Your brother's going to serve you. All he had to do was rest back. But he was in a hurry. And so he's scheming to get it. Sell me your birthright. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. He did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now turn with me, please, to chapter 27. Chapter 27. Verse 1. It came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his oldest son, and said, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. He said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow. Go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Isaac was wrong. God said that the older would serve the younger, and he's going to bless the older one. Out of the will of God. Not waiting on God. Let's read the rest of the chapter. It's interesting to the point of fascination. Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord. Before the Lord, before my death. Now, therefore, my son, remember, you see, she was partial to Jacob, and the dad was partial to Esau. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats. I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, that he may bless thee. Oh my. God said that the younger one was to be blessed. They couldn't wait for God. They were going to scheme it out. Oh, beloved, let's not practice tricks. Let's wait on the Lord, even when things seem difficult, even when things seem impossible. And those of you in school, trust the Lord. Oh, I can tell you of several incidents. I think of one instance in which I lost a year because of two fellows and their scheming. And one day, a patient came to me and said, I just came from Dr. So-and-so, and she had the worst things to say about him. He's one of those that was a trickster. And the other one, he was supposed to have finished his training in surgery, went out into practice, and never operated once. Wait on the Lord. Even when things seem bad, when they seem very unfavorable, just stay put. Relax. Wait on the Lord. Let's read on. Verse 11. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Can you imagine that? I shall seem as a, well, he was a deceiver. I shall seem as a deceiver. And we do the same thing today, don't we? Do you ever notice these fellows high up in politics? The deception? Already they're planning for the next presidential election. Who's going to run and who's going to say what? A lot of deception. But, oh, beloved, let's trust in the Lord. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. His mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. He went and fetched and brought them to his mother. His mother made savory meat, such as the father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, and upon his neck, and on the smooth of his neck. She gave the savory meat and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son. He came to his father, and his father said, and he said, Here am I. Father said, Who art thou, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau. Lie number one. Instead of waiting on God, he didn't have to tell any lies. He didn't have to scheme. I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. He wanted that blessing. Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Real fast. Lie number two. He said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Oh, beloved, let's be careful about blaming God for things that he never did. My father often used to say that. We blame God for a lot of things that he had nothing to do with. And here he's saying that God provided this venison. Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. He was a little suspicious, wasn't he? And you know why he was suspicious? Because he was wrong. Because Esau was not the one to be blessed. Jacob went near unto Isaac his father. He felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? Another lie, he said, I am. He said, Bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. He brought it near to him, and he did eat, and brought him wine, and he did drink. Now come with me to chapter 27 and verse 41. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. She sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, and flee thou to Laban, my brother. Tarry with him a few days until thy brother's wrath. Isn't this an interesting picture? The blessed man is running from the unblessed man. Well, that's quite a picture, isn't it? And when we fail to wait on the Lord, you will find that you'll be running from all the people around. Wait on the Lord. In the will of the Lord, we'll continue on Wednesday. The time is about up. Wait patiently. Wait silently. If God has said he's going to do something, he will do it. He may be long, but he won't be late. Now I'm going to ask that we sing from the Black Book, please. Number 311. God works in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Wait upon the Lord. On the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. Wait silently. Stop complaining. On the Lord shall we pray. Heavenly Father, again it is ours to call upon thy name, to enter into thy holy presence through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, we want to thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we remembered this morning. We thank thee for the lesson concerning Hezekiah. May it be ours to be loyal to thee, to wait upon thee patiently and silently. And as now we dismiss, let thy favor be with us. Take us to our several places of abode, we pray thee, in peace and safety. And to thy name we give glory, praise, and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.